Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Well, can we stand together and let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise just in honor to His great name. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them something nice. Would you just, you look nice today. Again, Mr. Reese and Mr. Jean, thank you, gentlemen, for being here today. Just here's a little bit of humor. There was a wife, and she realized that she must have left her keys in the car. And so frantically, she headed for the parking lot. Her husband had scolded her many times because she would leave the keys in the ignition. And he said, listen, he said, I'm telling you, one day, if you're not careful, somebody's going to steal your car. So she went out to the parking lot afraid that her car was stolen. And she looked around and she realized, well, he was right. The parking lot was empty. So she immediately called the police. She gave them her location, the make and the model of the car. And she told him, you know, I've left my keys in the car and it's just stolen. So then she made the most difficult call of all, and that was to her husband. And she had to call him and she said, look, I left my keys in my car and it's been stolen. And there was this moment of silence, almost like the phone had gone dead. And her husband came back and said, are you kidding me? I dropped you off. Now, it was her time to be silent on the phone, and she was very embarrassed, and she said, well, come and get me. And then he said, I will, just as soon as I convince this cop that I haven't stolen your car. We're going to be reading from a number of passages of Scripture in Romans and Ephesians. So if you want to go there in your Bible, you can. And then the Lord bless you. You may be seated. I want to tell you a story about a guy. You may have heard about this guy. It was a Friday night, and he had just gotten off of work, and his pockets were full of money, and he had nowhere to go, and he had nothing to do. So he just figured that he would go home. So he started walking home, and he saw a little flyer that was nailed to a telephone pole, and it said this: Midnight Harbor Cruise, music, dancing, all you can eat, all you can drink, $50, departs from Dock C at midnight sharp. So he thought, man, that sounds like a great deal. How can I even pass that up? So he heads down to Dock C at midnight, and when he got there, there was no boat. There was nobody there, so he just figured he had misread the flyer, and he was just going home. When he turned around to leave, bonk, he got hit on the back of the head. It knocked him out cold, and the next thing he knew, he was waking up in the morning, and he was in a little raft about 100 yards from the shore, and his pockets were empty, and his money was all gone, and he had a big lump on the back of his head. Well, he sat up and he looked around, and about 20 yards from him was another gentleman in another raft. And so he looked at the guy and he says, hey, he says, do they serve breakfast on this cruise? And the guy said, I don't think so. At least they didn't the last time. The rest of you will catch up in a minute. Y'all, I shouldn't say this, but I told Molly that joke last night, and y'all know Molly's blonde, and she's like, what? So I had to explain it to her. So if you need me to explain this to you, just come up at the end of service. But doesn't that sound like some of us? Can I get a witness here this morning? We keep making the same mistakes over and over. We keep falling for the same tricks. We keep falling for the same lies, winding up with another lump on the back of our head. And we think, why can't I stop doing this? Now, I know that we have some distinguished guests with us this morning, but I need some honest people here. Have you ever in your life thought, why do I keep doing this? If you didn't raise your hand, you're a storyteller. Because we have all been there. Why do I keep coming back to this? I briefly mentioned last week about the difference between a sin and an iniquity. A sin is something that you do. Let's just say you were in a tight spot, and before you even realized it, you told a fib to get yourself out of that tight spot. But typically, you would never do that. You don't really have a problem with lying. Well, that is what's called sin, because a lie is wrong. We know that. But have you ever met someone in your life they would almost rather tell a lie than tell the truth? We all have. That right there is called an iniquity. You say, Pastor, what is the difference? Well, the difference is that the iniquity is handed down to us to the third and fourth generations. The iniquities are things that keep drawing you back. In other words, think of it as a fisherman with one lure, and that fisherman would be the enemy. He doesn't have to have a multiplicity of lures. All he's got to have is that one, because you bite on it every time. Because that's your weakness. That weakness, and the enemy knows all of our weaknesses. And so he doesn't have to throw things out there that doesn't lure you, because he knows exactly what your weakness is. Because of that iniquity that's in our life, he keeps throwing the same thing out there, and we find ourselves, we keep going back to a place of repentance, saying, why can I not seem to get over this? If you've been there, say amen. Well, we all have, your pastor included. We've all been there, and we've all said, why do I keep tripping over the exact same thing? Why do I keep coming back time and time again over this very same deal that seems to be a revolving door in my life? Well, I want to try to answer that question. Why do we keep going back? And here's maybe one of the answers, and that is because change does not begin with our behavior. And 9 times out of 10, that's where we start. We see something in our life, we don't like it, we're tired of going back to a place of repentance over this. It's happened numerous times. And so we say, well, we're going to change our behavior. So let's just break this down. Let's say that it's an addiction. You're addicted to something. And then what you try to do is that addiction, you say, well, I'm going to remove this from the house. I'm just not going to even have it in my house. Well, that's a good start, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's kind of like saying, I'm not going to spend any more money, and you just don't go by the mall, right? Well, the bad news is you have Amazon on your phone. So why it's good that you're wanting to start somewhere and you just said, I'm never going to Lake Charles again, because I know if I go by the mall, it's a weakness for me, and I'm going to go in and spend money that I shouldn't. Here's the bad news. You can get more from Amazon than you can get from Lake Charles Mall. So now what are you going to do? Get rid of your phone? Well, you probably should. But in these times, it's kind of hard to do that. So now what? See, we try to go to where we change our behavior and think if I change my behavior, then hopefully I won't go back to this. I'm going to just encourage you, that's really the wrong place to start. See, all change starts in your mind. And if you and I do not have a big enough reason why that we want to stop this, then it doesn't matter how often we try to change our behavior. How does it even matter if you don't have a big enough why? Say this with me. Say, all change starts in my brain. You have to decide, why do I want to lose weight? Why do I want to quit this habit? Why do I want to stop spending money that I really don't have? Why do I want to change this behavior? And until you determine the reason why, then change won't happen, even though you try to manipulate the behavior. Here's what I've learned, brothers and sisters. If you don't hate it, you will tolerate it. If you don't hate bad relationships, you'll tolerate bad relationships. If you don't hate the way you feel in your body, then you're going to tolerate the way you feel. You got to get to a point like the prodigal son did. He said, I hate where I'm at. And even if I have to go and eat crow and be a servant, I hate so much of where I am, I'm willing to change and go back to my father's house. You have to get a hatred in your spirit for whatever it is that keeps driving you to that behavior. And your why has to be so much bigger than your how. And if it's not, then there's really nothing that's going to change. Does that make sense? Okay, can I keep going? See, our brain is like a computer. And what we put into it is what we're going to get out of it. Now, just think about your body. If you fill your body with nothing but junk food, over time, your body is not going to work properly. Garbage in, garbage out. Now, think of your brain like that. If you continually feed your mind junk, good things are not going to happen. Well, I had three people there. You and I have to learn how to make our mind and our mouth work for us. What about the junk food that we're putting in our head? The old ways of thinking. The old values, the old mindsets, the old lies that we keep telling ourselves over and over again. When are we going to get that junk, that stuff out of our head? What do you mean, Pastor? Well, things like this. Well, I'm just never going to be able to control my anger. Well, I guess I'm just never going to be able to beat this addiction. Well, I guess my life is just kind of meaningless. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm just going to live with whomever I want. I'm going to sleep with whoever I want. I'm going to go and do whatever I want whenever I want to do it because, you know, it just doesn't seem like really there's a lot of meaning in life and really, who cares? My brothers and sisters, can I tell you that that is a seedbed of lies from Satan himself? I'm going to say it again. Satan is the father of lies, and if that junk is in your head, then I'm going to encourage you to get this word in your head and push out those old thoughts and put in this new thought, this new way of thinking. Because here's what I know. If you would have been the only person on the earth, Jesus Christ would have come and gone through all that he went through, he would have gone through Gethsemane, he would have gone to Calvary, he would have given his life just to give you a choice. So guess what? Your life has meaning and your life has purpose. And can I keep preaching this morning? You know, listen, we've all done wrong. Your pastor's done wrong. I wish I could sit up here with a straight face and tell you I've been next to God, just next to perfect, but it would be a big old lie because there's no one in here that has ever been perfect like our Lord. But I will tell you this, the reason why that you don't want to give space to the enemy is because the more space you give to the enemy, the more ammunition he uses against you. Here's the analogy. Would you rather come up against a guy with a Nerf gun, or would you rather come up with a guy that's got a semi-automatic machine gun? Say, what are you saying, Pastor? Here's what I'm saying. The more you give space to the devil, the more ammunition he has against you. And he keeps giving you all those old lies. The least amount of space that you give to the enemy, then that's the least amount that you got to counteract. And this is why I'm saying God has already forgiven us all of our sins, past, present, and future. But when you open the door to the enemy, you're just giving him an arsenal to attack you with and just to come against you and say, you're nothing, you're worthless. Look at what you did. Look at how long you did it. Look at who you did it with. And he uses that to bring junk into our mind. And if we're not careful, we start believing those lies and we start believing that about ourselves. Well, I guess I am worthless and I guess nobody does care and I guess it really doesn't matter. And I want to scream at all of us and say, that is a lie. It does matter. God loves you. You have a hope. You have a plan. You have a future. God has purpose for your life. Can I get a witness? Brothers and sisters, I believe with all of my heart, just as God called the children of Israel out of bondage and slavery, he called them out of Egypt because what did he want? He didn't want his kids to be slaves. He wanted them to be free. Now, we're not physical slaves in the sense that they were, but I'm going to tell you, you don't have to be in a place where there's bars to be in a prison. You can be in a prison in your own mind. Can I get a witness? And God doesn't want you to be a prisoner of your past. He doesn't want you to be a prisoner of your own mind. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. Shout, I'm free. You may not feel free, but guess what? If you went to Calvary and he forgave you of your sins, you are free from that. This word tells me that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Here's what I'm telling you. Just as God wanted to save those slaves from Egypt, he wants to bring you out of darkness and into his marvelous light so that you are no longer a bondage to your old iniquities. Here's what the scripture says. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. There is a difference between an iniquity and a sin. Those iniquities is what keeps you coming back time after time after time. And here's what happens. Here's what we do. We come to an altar and we get emotional and we cry and we ask God to forgive us and he does. But how many honest folk do I have here this morning? You've gone back to the altar or asked for forgiveness more than once over the same exact thing. Well, sure, we all have. And we keep asking ourselves, why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep doing this? It's like Paul said in Romans, the good thing that I want to do, I find myself not doing that. And that which I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. What is that working? It's that iniquity that's working in our life. I'm going to try to get to this in just a minute to to try to show us how we can overcome this. So if you will, go to your Bible in the book of Romans chapter 13. And if you didn't bring it, it'll come up on the screen. We're going to look at verse 11 through 14. And I'm reading out of the NIV this morning. And do this, is what it says. Understanding the present time. Understanding the present time. What does this mean, Pastor? Well, I'm not going to get into the Greek and Hebrew with you because basically you probably care less about that. But so what I'm going to do is tell you what that means in the Greek. At this present time, what it means is it means a particular moment. It means a very decisive moment that you need to grab a hold of that moment, because if you don't, you're going to miss purpose and opportunity in your life. Did you get that? Okay, so it means a moment of decision. It means a moment of decisiveness, or a decisive moment. So now let's go back to the passage. And do this, understanding this decisive moment. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It continues to go on and says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not as in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissensions and jealousy, but rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what I like about this verse. And don't even think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Say this with me. Say, don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. You just don't even think about it. If we're going to rethink our view of ourselves, and we're going to have to get rid of the junk food that's in our minds. Here's what the Bible says. Look at this verse in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. It says this: be made new in the attitude of your mind. That's a powerful scripture. How can I be made new, Pastor? Here's what the Bible tells us. You're made new in the attitude of your mind. You say, okay, what does that mean? In other words, if we want to be a new person, it doesn't start with our behavior. It starts, if we want freedom and if we want hope and we want vision and we want joy, it doesn't start with our behavior. It starts and it begins with the way we think. Be new in the attitude of your mind. Now let's go to another scripture, Romans 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, if we want to know what is the will of God, if we want to think in the ways of God, he's saying stop conforming to the pattern of the world and allow God to begin to transform us into the pattern of his will. Now, this is very important to understand, and I'm going to try to pick up the pace a little. You ready? If you're writing notes, write down the word conform. Here's what the word conform. It means to fit into a mold, or to make or become the same. It means to behave in a conventional way by accepting without question the customs, traditions, and prevailing opinions of others. I may not end my message and just stay right here, because here's what most people are doing, and even Christians. We are conforming to the customs, the traditions, and the prevailing opinions of others. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. And I'm by no means coming this morning upset. I'm not at all. But I will tell you, it's not the church that is changing the world. It is the world that is changing the church. And that is unfortunate. Why? Because what we are doing is we are conforming to the values of the world. Can I preach just a minute? And he says, you know what? If you're going to conform to the values of this world, then you're going to be just like them because you're trying to fit yourself in their mold. And we don't want to upset anybody. We live in an age of tolerance. But listen, I am a tolerant person, but not when it comes to truth. When it comes to truth, I'm going to be kind, but right is right and wrong is wrong. There are still right values and there's wrong values. Can I preach this morning? And can I tell you that if you bought into Hollywood, you bought into the wrong value system. Because Hollywood is telling all of us that it's everything outside of us that is going to bring satisfaction. And here's what I have found out. You can get a new car, and when the new car smell wears off, you still have to pay the bill, and it's not going to bring you happiness. I cannot preach this strong enough, and I don't want to yell at you, but listen to me, please. I hope you can get this when you're 20 instead of when you're 50. Here's what I'm fixing to tell you. Please listen to me. No matter what it is, if it's outside of you, and you think that's going to bring you happiness, then you're conforming to the values of this world. Because you can look good today, like physically look beautiful, and you can be in a horrible accident and all of your physical beauty is gone. So if you're putting your value in your physical beauty or your money or your car or your degree or your house or anything else, then guess what? Those things can be here today and gone tomorrow. And then you don't know who you are outside of your looks or who you are or what you drive or your position. And now we've got major problems because you don't see any value outside of that. And brothers and sisters, if you're extremely insecure and you need a lot of people to come alongside you and tell you how good you are and how perfect you are and how great you are, then guess what? Your tank is never going to be full because you're always looking for somebody to validate you. You have to get to the place, can I talk about it, that you're no longer conforming to the values of this world, but you understand I'm valuable because I am a child of God. I am valuable because my past is forgiven. I have a purpose worth living, and I got a home in heaven, and those things cannot be taken from me. People come and go, but Jesus comes and stays. And if you conform to the values of this world, you're going to live a very shallow life. You're going to always look to others to validate who you are. And you have to get to the place that you understand. When I woke up this morning, I woke up as a king, as a son, as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Come on, would you take 5 seconds and give God praise in his house this morning? I wish I had all of our young people in here because it's so easy. Hey, listen, I'm 52 years of age and I still fight the culture of this world. But what we do is we become like Play-Doh, that we just fit into a mold. Because the church, for the most part, wants to be like everybody else and we want to fit into this world. We don't want to make any waves. We don't want to look different. We want to act like everybody else, so we're just socially acceptable. When he says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, he says, stop trying to fit in because you don't belong here. You have to keep an eternal point of view, ladies and gentlemen. Are y'all still with me? Because what can happen is you can get so caught up in the culture of who you are and how you look and what you drive and where you live that you forget this world is really not my home. Hallelujah. Now, that don't set too well with people, but you got to remember, this world is not your home. You are not to live by the values of this world or to conform yourself to the pattern of this world. Does that make sense? See, as followers, we belong to a different kingdom. We have pledged our allegiance to a different king. We live under a different set of values, a different economy, a different way of relating to the world around us. And just because something has become socially acceptable, well, that doesn't make it right. And yet, how often do we think, you know, everybody else is around me, they're doing it. So this has just become the new normal. You hear that a lot today. This has just become the new normal. Well, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it doesn't matter what society calls it. If it's right, it's right. And if it's wrong, it's wrong. And these are the values that we, brothers and sisters, cannot stray away from, no matter what the world thinks or no matter what the world says is a new normal. Can I get a witness? Amen. Well, let me go on. Then Paul, he talks about this verse. He says, don't be conformed to the pattern of the world. And then he goes on to say, if you'll put it up again, he says, but be transformed. How are we transformed? By the renewing, everybody say renewing. By the renewing of our mind. The word transform, if you're writing notes, means to change the nature, the character, or the personality of something. So look at the difference here. Conforming is about changing external appearances. And transforming is about changing internal. There's your key. Okay, you say, Pastor, how do now I change my behavior? Okay, here it is. I'm going to give you the key. Conforming has to do with behavior, like fitting into a mold. Transforming has to do with character. In other words, I'm changing from the inside out. I was officiating in a funeral yesterday, and I said this statement. I said, in my 20s, I was very enamored with giftings, people who are gifted in music, gifted as songwriters, gifted as athletes, gifted as speakers. I was very enamored by people who were gifted. But now that I've gotten in my 50s, I have become way less enamored by giftings, and I've grown a deep, deep respect for character. What do you mean, Pastor? Here's what I mean. You see a lot of gifted people that their giftings can take them where their character can't keep them. So now I'm no longer so much enamored by a person's gifts. I appreciate gifted people, enjoy hearing great music, enjoy listening to incredible songs that have been penned, and enjoy watching athletes. But I've seen a lot of athletes and a lot of famous and gifted people waste their lives because their gifting took them to a place that their character couldn't keep them. And now he's very gifted on a football field, but he beats his wife up. And he's got major anger issues. And he doesn't even know how to handle money. He goes crazy. And we see these stories all the time. And brothers and sisters, what we cannot afford to do is exalt people's gifts so much so that we say, well, it's okay. They're very gifted, but their character is down here. You know, God is not going to look at giftings as much when we get there as he's going to want to know, what is your character? Did you and I bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace, goodness and gentleness and long-suffering and faithfulness and meekness and self-control? Self-control. And a lot of men, especially men, deal with anger. You look so good. You look sharp this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't live your life here. And what I want for this wonderful congregation is not for you just to be happy sitting on a pew at 10 o'clock on Sunday. I want for all of us to live the abundant life the life that we're not struggling with anger and we're not struggling with lust and addiction, because we've learned how to overcome that through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we are changing through the renewing of our mind. Now I'm going to wrap this up, and I'm going to give you a very dirty word now in church ranks. It hadn't always been dirty, but it's become dirty in the last 10 to 15 years. I don't know where it became a dirty word, but about 10 or 15 years ago, it became a very dirty word. And here it is. It's called the word repent. And when a pastor gets up and talks about repent, they all look at him like, what? Repent? Man, I come to church. I'm doing good. See, the word repent, I think we've misconstrued it just a little bit, especially in our ranks. We see the word repent as something where we get emotional, we maybe start weeping, and we ask God to forgive us. And there's nothing wrong with that, not against that. But if you look at the word repent, the Greek word for repent simply means to change one's mind. You look that word up, repent, that's exactly what it means. It means to change one's mind. It doesn't mean to cry, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with crying, but that's not what it means. It means to change one's mind. And so here's what happens. We come to an altar and we repent, and we think it means that it's going to change our behavior. Repentance does not mean it's going to change our behavior. Repentance does not mean stop doing that. Repentance means think differently. Change the way you think. Does that make sense? Okay. Then there's another word that's not as bad as repent, but it's a word we don't talk about a lot, and that is confess. Confess. See, only God can forgive sins, but James says this: confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. Why, Pastor? Because you're only as sick as your secrets. And as long as you've got secrets, the enemy can take it and he uses it like a loop inside your head. Remember what you did? You're worthless. You're no good. You're just a fake Christian. But when you confess that and you get that out in the open with someone you can trust, now you have brought that out into the light. Now you can start moving. See, but we look at confession as just something that we confess to someone, or that we confess our sins to Christ. And that's fine. Again, nothing wrong with that. But I think there's a little misconception, and I want to take just a minute to explain it. See, we think that confession is about coming and confessing our sins, but there's more to confession than just confessing sin. And I think it's really freeing when you understand what confession really means. Now, it's important that we confess our sins to the Lord, so don't misconstrue what I'm saying. The Bible says that when we confess, God forgives, so confessing sin is very important. But if we stop there, if that's all there is to it, then it's just saying, God, I'm sorry, and you're right. I promise God to never do it again. And if that's all there is to confession, then guess what? Nothing is going to change in me. Okay? Because think about this. How often have you confessed and have I confessed the same exact thing over and over and over? And it goes like this. God, I'm sorry I did it again. God, I'm so sorry I did it again. Here I am, Lord, I'm back in the raft with another lump on the back of my head, and I did it again. Anybody been there? See, have you ever noticed we're not real creative when it comes to sin? Because it's that iniquity, those three or four things, two or three things that keep bringing us back. And guess what? You're confessing your sin, in order to bring forgiveness, but it doesn't change anything inside you. So you say, okay, Pastor, what do I do? There's another kind of confession that I want to focus on today, and another kind of confession that changes how we live. It's not just confessing our sin, but it's confessing our faith. I wish I had time to preach. I don't. But I'm going to tell you something. In our ranks, we have become way more sin conscious than we are God conscious. I'm going to let that sink in. We're not nearly as God conscious or as we are sin conscious, because we've been preached to for so long, don't sin, don't sin. And I get that. But whatever you focus on is what you're going to go to. So here's what I'm proposing in the last few minutes of what I have to say. I think what we need to start doing is we need to start saying what God says about us. Because when we think like God thinks, then some good things are going to start happening. Instead of trying to go back and confess our sins, and that's the right thing to do, but after we've done that, why don't we start confessing how God feels about us? And start confessing the word. And it goes something like this. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. It goes something like this. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I got the word on it. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. My sins are forgiven. I got his word on it. God is not ashamed of me. I got his word on it. God said he wants me to be blessed when I come into the city and when I walk out of the city. He wants me to be above sin, sickness, and disease and not beneath it. He wants me to walk in freedom as his child, confessing who I am, instead of having to go back every 2 weeks and ask God to forgive me again. Because I've been working on my behavior and I haven't gone into my mind and started renewing my mind. I am who he says I am. I can have what he says I can have. I can be what he says I can be. Brothers and sisters, I don't think we're very good at confessing this word, and we're more focused on what we don't want instead of what we do want. Quit focusing on the sin and focus on being a child of God. Say what he says over you. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But listen, you're going to keep going back, and I'll keep going back to that same old thing as a dog returns to its vomit, because we've got to have two things to change. And that is, we've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit, because willpower only lasts about 90 days. You say, I don't believe you. Well, you signed up for a gym membership in January and you quit going by April. You signed up for a diet in March and you quit going by probably July, if you made it that long. Why? Because willpower only lasts for 90 days. This is why you need God's power, because God's power won't leave you. It's 24/7, 365. It's there in the morning. It's there in the evening. His word says in Hebrews, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And so when you get to getting down and you get to getting depressed, you say, Holy Spirit, I know you're on the inside of me and I can overcome this. I'm coming out of this. I don't have to get down. I don't have to be depressed. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If you receive this word, stand to your feet and clap your hands and give God praise right now. Come on. So here's what I want you to take away. I want you to take away that there's a plan, and God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And God's never going to leave you, and God's never going to forsake you, and you've got his word on that. spend more time confessing your faith and saying what God says about us, then we'll need less time to confess sin. Are you with me? Why? Because our thoughts control our life. And if we want to change our life, we got to change the way we think. Amen. Would you bow your head? I want to pray over you. Lord, changing the way we think, I know that it's not easy. And we can't even do that within our own power. But Father, I pray this morning for someone who are truly struggling with the iniquities of the flesh. They're just coming back time and time again, trying to change their behavior. Lord, I pray that you would give us revelation to realize that change starts in our brain. To repent means I'm going to think differently about this. I no longer want to live in anger. I no longer want to give my life over to lust and the satisfaction of the flesh. I'm just tired of living under condemnation and shame because I know that it's shame that the enemy works through. I want to live that overcoming life. I don't want to find myself month after month and year after year walking around the same mountain, the same addiction, the same problem. So, Lord, I'm asking you to help me. Not in changing my behavior, but in changing the way I think. That I would begin to think, Lord, like your word says I can think. And that I would no longer be conformed as Plato in a mold to this world and its values, but I would be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Lord, I pray that you would take this word and put it in our spirit and let it begin to bring about lasting change and the fruit of growth and health in our life. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say amen. God bless you. Do you receive the word of the Lord today? Do you receive it? Thank all of you. Mr. Reese, Mr. Gene, Mr. Shane, thank you for being here. Really appreciate it. Turn around and just shake somebody's hand. Let them know that you were glad to see them in church. Have a blessed day. We're going to come back tonight, 6:00. God bless you. I hope you're here.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.